friends, welcome back to Old Fashioned on Purpose. It is a new season, it's a new year, and I'm feeling all of that energy that I love so much as we kick off new beginnings, as we jump into 2025. So I've kind of started, I don't know, the last year or two, couple years, a tradition here on the podcast where at the end of the year, I share my lessons that I learned. And then at the beginning of the year, I share my goals and intentions. And I don't know, maybe you don't find this interesting at all, but it's helpful for me to put this out there to the world. It helps me hold myself accountable. It also is interesting to have to organize my thoughts, to share it with you. And then I kind of get to spend that time ruminating on both where I want to go and where I've been. So, I mean, I do get good feedback from these episodes, so I think they're helpful. But anyway, that's what we're doing today. I'm going to share some of my intentions and targets for the coming year. And then at the end of this year, I can tell you how everything was different and changed from what I expected. But regardless, I think it's good to have something you're aiming for. And I hope that you're able to spend some time reflecting this month, or maybe you already have. You know, you don't always have to do these things at the beginning of the new year. I've seen a lot of posts on social media lately talking about how we're conditioned to think that January is the start of the year and it's actually in spring and it's a Gregorian calendar myth and whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're conditioned to like the new year to be when you rethink your goals and your targets. Just do it whenever. But for me, there's something magical, especially about that week between Christmas and New Year's. I love that week. It's my favorite week of the whole year. And I always spend time with my new planner and thinking and dreaming and casting visions. And so I'm coming off of that. I want to share that with you today. So one thing I've noticed as I was putting together my goals for this year, they're just different. They're different than what I normally think about. And I shared a little bit in my last episode of the previous season about how 2024 was a very eye-opening year for me. It was a very different year. I feel like I've changed a lot in how I view life and how I move through life and how I think of business and all of that. And so I feel like 2025 potentially, I hate to be prophetic here because every time I say something is the way it is, life surprises me. But 2025, I expect to be following in that same vein. And what I have learned from the past year is to be open to the possibilities, to have drive and purpose, but to also have flexibility. And so that's how I'm entering this year. I think there's a big difference between someone who enters a new period of life or a new year or a new venture with just kind of that lackadaisical, just kind of whatever happens, it is what it is attitude, which I don't like, don't love that. That's maybe the type of flexibility that's detrimental, but I think there's a type of flexibility that still has forward momentum, that's full of curiosity. It still has drive and purpose, but it's also like, hey, I know that things can shift. I'm open to being surprised. And that's the energy I'm really holding on to right now. So my goals this year are different than what I've had in the past. Even what I cast at the beginning of 2024, I used to be so much more number driven and thinking it had to hit certain targets and benchmarks, especially in business. And I still have that, but it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's just different. Maybe I'm growing up a little bit. I'll be 40 this year. So maybe, maybe I'm growing up and realizing, there's a different way to move through life as a type A person, as an ultra motivated person that doesn't have to be so, number focused all the time. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll have a different perspective at the end of this year, but here's what I've got. And as I share these, maybe you'll see some of yourself in some of these thoughts and it'll inspire you to create some goals and visions for your home and your homestead and your businesses if you have them in 2025. Okay. So my first big kind of goal area, which really feel like it was less of me broadcasting that out and more it just kind of came to me and it's just presented itself like this is what's going to happen is I feel like food is going to be a really, really big part of the coming 12 months in all the realms. And it's funny because I've had periods of my life and my businesses in the past that were very food focused. You know, when I launched the Prairie Homestead Cookbook, that was huge and it really put me out there as a food influencer. I hate that word, but that's, I don't know what else to call it. Food person online. And then when I launched the cooking course and the canning courses, like that really established me as the, one of the go-to people in the space at the time for food. And then, you know, as I do, I tend to get bored with certain areas or I need to go explore other things. And so, you know, then with my content, I've moved on to different topics, productivity and how to make money on your homestead with self-funded homestead. And I've done a lot of other different ventures since then. But I feel like we're coming back around and 2025 will be the year where I take another big monumental step up in my food content, but also just my food knowledge. And it's kind of a three-pronged thing that has been happening. First off, of course, the soda fountain, as we have chosen to keep the restaurant. And I shared all of that in the previous episode from last season. But now that we're doing all this new food there, I'm excited about food at the Soda Fountain for the first time in years. And I'm getting to try new recipes and I'm learning new skills. And we're trying to up-level not only our day-to-day food, like we're doing hand-cut French fries, we're working on that. We're working on house-made soda syrup. So we won't be using any artificial flavors or artificial colors. It'll all be from real herbs and real fruit. So we're working on that. But also with the supper nights we've been having, we've been doing high-end steak or like fancy dinners once a month at least. That's putting me into areas that I've never cooked in before. And that's like fancy restaurant techniques and seafood and things that I don't normally cook. And so that's inviting me to up-level myself in a whole new way. And I'm having a blast, right? Because I kind of got in my own little homestead bubble of how I cook and what I grow. And it was fine, but you know, I was ready to be pushed out of that. So it's out of my comfort zone, but I really, really like it. And I think it's affecting also how I cook at home in a good way. So the soda fountain is going to be a huge food focus for me this year as we continue to refine our ingredients and our steps and our processes. Meal Craft is another piece of that. Meal Craft is my monthly framework subscription that I know many of you are a part of. And so it gives me the opportunity each month to get creative and figure out how to help you in your kitchens get the food on the table in a way that makes sense and it's not stressful and you're learning to cook by feel. And so creating for you always helps me create better for myself. It's kind of a win for you and a win for me. So I'm excited to continue to create for Meal Craft this year. And then the third prong of my food focus, I haven't talked about anywhere else yet. So this is the official announcement. I am in the very early stages of starting, drumroll please, a new cookbook. And you guys have been asking for that for a long time. I knew it would come eventually and the time is here. So it's going to be a while before it hits shelves. Publishing a book is a very long process, but I am hammering away on recipes and testing and concepts as we speak. And I'm really, really excited. So it's fun and challenging to be up-leveling my homestead cooking, but also up-leveling the soda fountain cooking. And there's some interesting crossovers there. And I'm able to bring some of our soda fountain recipes into the cookbook and some of my cookbook recipes into the soda fountain. So it's really wild. And I feel like I am in recipe testing mode like 24/7 right now. And I'm not complaining. So more details to come on that soon. No, it won't be available this year because books take a long time. But I know that my first cookbook is well loved by many of you. And it would be very helpful to me if you wouldn't mind dropping me a line on Facebook or Instagram or via email and just letting me know what recipes you found most helpful in my first cookbook that you would like to see recipes of that same vein in the second one. Because I want to make sure that this second one, you know, sometimes sequels or part twos aren't as good as the first. And I do not want that to be the case here. I want the second cookbook to be even better and to build on the skills that I introduced in the first cookbook. I want this to be like, you know, 102. If Prairie Homestead Cookbook was 101, this is 102. But still have the type of recipes that you find most useful and that you love the most for your kitchen. So if you're thinking about it, just let me know what your favorite recipe is there and what you'd like to see more of. Because we're in that stage where I can take that feedback and turn it into real life recipes. So anyway, I'm excited for that. It feels like a long ways away before I'll get to hold anything tangible in my hands, but it's going to be good. So stay tuned. Okay. So food's a really big goal focus of mine for this year. My next big focus, and again, it kind of struck me when I put this on in my planner and I wrote this down as a goal. I would have never put a goal like this in any other goal list from any other year, but this is just kind of a testament to how my perspective has shifted. Community is a really big goal of mine in 2025. And I don't have a really quantifiable definition, which is, again, I know not a great way to set goals, but I've learned to be a little more flexible. So I was surprised in 2024, and I've shared this in previous episodes, at how the people that I didn't expect to show up did, and the people that I thought would show up didn't. And I've just learned to be a lot more open to the people around us. And I've learned that the people that maybe I thought we wouldn't have relationships with or we didn't have a connection with actually ended up being really valuable parts of our lives. And so that was such a revelation in 2024. I'm like, okay, who else have I been not giving credit to around me? Who else is there in the shadows that maybe I didn't pull in or I didn't realize was wanting to be a part of our life? And so I'm resolving to be more open to relationships and community this coming year, knowing there's a risk attached to that, because anytime we open ourselves up to relationship, it also opens us up to disappointment and getting hurt, and all that messiness that comes with human stuff. And I used to try to protect myself from that so much. And now I've learned that that's part of the risk that we get to take. And everything we do has risk attached to it if it's going to make a difference. And I've been really ruminating on that concept a lot in a lot of areas, but especially in relation to community. You have to put yourself out there and get a little vulnerable and a little uncomfortable to really create those connections. Sometimes you'll get burned. You will. But sometimes you won't. And you'll be so wildly surprised at what happens. And so I'm very interested to see how we can draw a bigger circle in our community this coming year and make more connections. And I don't know what that means, and I don't know what it entails, but I just know I'm going to be open to that and curious and see what happens. So that's a big goal of mine, or a big vision of mine for this coming year. Hey friend, I'm interrupting this episode for just a second to tell you about something new that I recently discovered, and I think you might be interested. So here on the show, we talk a lot about ingredient swaps and how we can get back to the nutrients we're designed to consume without all of the industrial junk. And one of the ingredients that's super important that I think we often overlook is water. So obviously our bodies are made up primarily of water, and we're supposed to consume a lot of water during the day. Whether or not we do that is a whole nother topic. And beyond that, water can greatly affect the outcomes of some of your old-fashioned from scratch foods. I'm namely thinking of things like sourdough or lacto-fermented veggies. So I was really excited to discover AquaTrue, which is a reverse osmosis countertop water purifying system, kind of a mouthful, but it's super cool because it filters out a ton of chemicals that are likely in your tap water that could not only be less than ideal for your body, but they may be messing up your homemade foods and you don't even realize it. This filter will take out the forever chemicals, think like PFAS, fluoride, chlorine, arsenic, nitrates, pesticides, and herbicides. And those last three are especially concerning if you live in an area with a lot of industrial farming, because they'll get into the groundwater. And I think what I love most about it is it's a countertop purifier pitcher system. So you don't have to redo your plumbing. You don't have to hire someone to install it. You just take it out of the box and go. Honestly, my 11-year-old put it all together for me, and it was super easy. So it filters out 15 times more contaminants than an ordinary pitcher. And I especially love the chlorine part, because I wish I had a nickel for every time one of you have emailed me asking how to get the chlorine out of your water for your sourdough starter. So it can do that plus so much more. One filter lasts anywhere from 6 months up to 2 years. And if you have been buying bottled water, it will save you, the same as buying up to 4,500 bottles of water. So it's a really good deal. And if you head on over to aquatrue.com, that's AQUATRU.com, and use the code Homestead, you can save 20%. So head on over, check it out, and let's get back to the show. Okay, number three, one of my big focuses, of course, is going to continue to be the soda fountain, growing it, in improving the food. It's already pretty dang good, but we're going to keep making it better. We have a billboard going up this year, which I've wanted to do now for 4 years, and it's finally happening. And we're going to be doing our supper nights. We've started doing some catering bids. We have pizza nights coming. We're working on improving our outdoor courtyard and having fire pits. A lot of good stuff. I also, in addition to all that up-leveling, I want to get our numbers so dialed in, down to the penny, in every area. And we're decent with that, right? I have the books and the numbers and all of that, but I want to get it to a whole new level. So I am hyper aware of every single piece of that business and how it runs down to the nth degree. So we're working on that now. I don't actually ever wait till January 1st to start things. I always start them immediately when I get the ideas. The cookbook started, the community building has started, soda fountain stuff has started. But that's something I'm going to really resolve to get serious about and make time for, is just to get that every piece of that business just running like a Swiss watch. And such a wild shift from last year at this exact time when my biggest resolution was to sell the soda fountain and walk away. So what a difference a year makes. But I'm excited to see what will happen there this year. There's a lot of good energy there. We have a really good team. I'm feeling really good about it. So all of these things are my big focuses. And that kind of puts me in this position where the homestead, which has always been my primary goal area generally in years past, is kind of shifting to the background. And that was something, as I shared in previous episodes, again, I've struggled with the last year. It's that shift of identity and that shift of seasons, which is sometimes hard to swallow. And, you know, I've always been the homestead person. I've always been the homestead teacher and mentor. And that's been such a primary focus of our life. And so it's left me, you know, the last little while going with all these new goals and these new focuses on community and living outside of just our the four walls of our house. Like, what does that do to my homestead tasks? And so the homestead's not going away. It's just not my primary focus like it has been. So what does that look like for 2025? Well, when I'm at the soda fountain more, it makes it harder to primp the gardens all day long, which isn't a bad thing, right? It's just a different season. I know I definitely still will garden. We will still be planting a garden this year. That's a non-negotiable. I may not do my giant rows of potatoes and onions. Those are pretty high maintenance, but we will be planting the greenhouse. And we'll be planting my raised beds. I want to continue to improve the fertility of my soil with amendments, testing. I know I've shared in other episodes where my nitrogen in my raised beds, the content is lower than I'd like, I think just from years of repeated growing. So I've been experimenting with cover crops and mulches and manures, learning that putting just manure and leaving it on the top of the ground doesn't work as well as I used to think it did, because the nitrogen is volatile, and it leaves, right? It dissipates. And so working on that. I'm feeling like I've been doing this homestead garden stuff for so long, I'm just kind of falling into a rhythm. And to me, it's less about trying a million new things in a million varieties and more just sticking with what I know we like to eat and preserve and what grows well here. So maybe that's not as exciting, but it's what works. And so it'll be a lot of paste tomatoes, a lot of San Marzanos. It'll be a lot of potatoes and onions, because I use those constantly. My garlic will be coming up in a couple months. I planted that in the fall. It will be green beans, because I like to freeze those. And maybe a few novelties, but not so much, right? It'll mostly be the stuff that I just know that we love. And I know I will absolutely preserve and not, you know, do that thing where you leave it in the garden and it gets eaten by bugs, because, you know, sometimes we do that. But we're just going to keep it basic this year. So still homesteading, but just in a more subtle way, I suppose. I am really excited, however, to have our cows freshening this spring, I think March or April. We did not get them bred back in time last year. So I did not have any calves and I did not have any milk, which honestly, the state of our life last year, that was probably okay. I think a bunch of milk would have been the straw that broke the camel's back last spring when I really wasn't loving life a whole lot. But I'm excited to have those cows freshening. I probably won't be milking all of them at once. I'll probably just pick one and let the calves work on the other. But I'm excited to get back in the cheese, because I had that period a couple years ago. It was actually sad because we lost a calf, but it gave me the opportunity to milk twice a day. And then I was able to have so much cream and so much milk that I was plunged into cheese making and I learned a lot. And then I felt like I didn't get to close the loop and finish that last year because we didn't have milk. So I'm excited to have the milk. I'm excited to do some more hard cheeses, get my mozzarella, put up a bunch of butter in the freezer and do all of those things. But I always tell people, to me, the hardest part of a milk cow is not the milking. The hardest part is dealing with the milk, especially if you don't have a ginormous commercial refrigerator, because after a day or two, or 2 or 3 days, maybe you will be completely full of jars and you will be forced to deal with it. And sometimes the day you're forced to deal with it is the day you're not going to be home and you have to take your kids somewhere. You need to go to the soda fountain. So it's going to be a balance, but I think it will be fun. to have that little bit of chaos. A lot of chaos, but you know, maybe we'll get some pigs to drink the whey, and yeah, that'll be awesome. And then my final vision, my goal of this year is to push really hard into my horse plans. And so last year was a big year for me. I told you that I wanted to rope at a branding and I ended up roping at 4. So I held that commitment to myself, which felt really, really good. And then I got a couple 2-year-olds. So I started working with those and I had some big breakthroughs with my nicer horse, my good horse, if you want to call him that, and got to ride him all over the place. And that was awesome. And I just want to continue that and get more serious and more confident in my horse skills. You know, I've shared, I think in the past, how I had a lot of weird limiting beliefs around the horse stuff because I had started that as a young adult and then I took a detour and I kind of told myself, you can't come back to it, or you don't have the right lifestyle to really be a good roper, and you can't do this, you can't do that. So I just, like, last year I was like, enough, I'm not going to tell myself that garbage anymore. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go after it. And so I'm going to continue that on this year, pushing myself out of my comfort zone. I've signed up for some clinics that I've never gone to before. I'm going to get the colts going. I was able to ride Tag, my good horse, in a special headgear setup called a 2-rein last year. So I bought a 2-rein. So now we're going to work on continuing that, which is just kind of a higher level for both him and I. It has always intimidated me. I kind of thought I wasn't going to ever get there. And so the fact that we started it, and now I'm just going to keep on doing it and just tackle it with the same intention that I've tackled my businesses and homesteading. I'm excited. For some reason, I have that fearlessness with other areas of my life, but the horses, I always just told myself that wasn't good enough or wasn't handy enough or not worthy enough. And I'm just like, enough, I'm going to do it. So we're going for it this year. And I'm excited to see where that goes. You know, the business goals are fun and the community goals are heartwarming. The horse goals are really, what just lights me up like nothing else. I'll always be the horse girl first and foremost, before homesteader, before entrepreneur, before restaurant owner. So it's the little girl, Jill, who I'm feeling that sense of completion and that sense of, hey, we're doing it. And it feels really good. So, yeah, the horse stuff will be fun. We'll see where that takes us. And, you know, I generally shared a word of the year. I always pick a word of the year. And I have one in mind for 2025, but I don't feel ready to share it yet because I don't know if I like it. I mean, I like it, but I don't know. I think I need to find another way to describe it. So I'm not going to share that with you today, which I feel is very anticlimactic. But when I do have that figured out, I'll share that on a future episode. But I do encourage you, as you're listening to my goals and you're soaking in the beginnings of this new year, if you haven't already, set some targets and set some intention. I'm not big on resolutions. And I don't believe in starting that you have to start at a certain time. I believe more in just starting when the inspiration hits. You got to strike when the iron's hot. I was telling that to my daughter, my oldest daughter, the other day. She was telling me, you know, I'm all excited. I have a bunch of goals in my head and I want to write them down, but she didn't have a planner yet. She was waiting for the planner to arrive. And I'm like, you know what you need to do? You need to write them down now. You need to verbalize them and get them on paper because, that inspiration, when it strikes you, it will leave. And it's harder to resurrect those ideas and thoughts. And so we were talking about how when you're feeling something, the action is you need to take it immediately. You do not wait. Do not sleep on it. Don't procrastinate. Take it while you feel inspired. And so if you're feeling inspired from this episode, when the show is over, turn it off and take a few minutes to write things down for your homestead, for your family, for your businesses. It makes a big difference. And even when you get to the end of the year and you'll realize that, you know, things shifted, and it's maybe not that you didn't hit the targets. It's just that the targets became less important as the year progressed. That's okay. But you got to have somewhere to start. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do this year, because I've been thinking about this a lot, is take some risks, right? It's really easy to talk about that. And it's really easy to post memes and quotes online about taking risk and getting out of your comfort zone. But so very few people are willing to do it. Risk is uncomfortable. Risk doesn't feel warm and fuzzy. Risk feels slightly dangerous. And there's lots of different types of risk. You get to decide what is the right type of risk for you. But you won't get what you want in life in any way, shape, or form unless you put yourself out there. And I watch that so often in the people around me. I'm not saying this in a judgmental way. I'm saying this in an observational way. They say they want things, but they won't take those first steps to get them. They say they want a homestead, but they don't want to move here or there to get it. They want it to be safe and easy. And it won't, my friend. If you want something bad enough, you're going to have to get out of that comfort zone to make it happen. You know, they want to start a business, but they want to do it in a way that feels safe and easy. They want to hit that childhood dream. They want to go after that childhood dream, but they want to do it in a way that's safe and easy. And it doesn't work. You have to take that risk. You have to put yourself out there. It's the only way I know how to make things happen. And time and time again, we have done that in our life in various forms, and it has paid off. Even though, you know, initially sometimes I want to throw up when I start the process, and it feels really scary. You know, the horse goals I hit last year, every single one of them made me, like, my stomach was doing flops when I would commit, or I would sign up, or I would, you know, step into the branding pin. Committing at the soda fountain this year in a new way with the supper nights, and kind of diving off the cliff with new employees and putting my trust in people that I didn't think I would ever put trust in. Like, it's risk. It still is risk, but you have to be willing to put yourself in those situations within reason, with wisdom. And that's where you get to where you want to be. So anyway, that's my rambling encouragement for you in this coming year. I'm looking forward to the upcoming episodes. I have some great guests as always. And of course, I'm always very, very excited to hear your guest ideas or your recommendations, or if you want to come on the show and talk about a specific topic, send me a note. I have a form on my website, theprairiehomestead.com, where you can fill out an application and tell me what your idea would be for an episode. So excited to see what's to come, my friends. May 2025 be a year of learning and growth and risk and curiosity for you. So we'll talk again soon. And thanks for listening. We'll catch up on the next episode of Old Fashioned on Purpose.